All right, everyone. Well, I'll go ahead and start, and I'll stop goofing around here a little bit. Introduce myself as I think you must know because you're here. I'm Stephen Cocconi, and tonight what we're going to do is we are going to have, an evening with Michael's Consortium. And as many of you have been here before, but a few of you haven't, I'll just explain basically the general structure. I'd like to run a very loose, friendly, and interesting exchange. I consider any of you here, both intelligent people, and not because you're here, just because you are, also quite capable of making up your own minds and also contributing to the collective of this connection. Now, granted, I'm the paid attraction, so I'll do my job when we start off. And I will go ahead and do my presentation, 22 or 23 slides. That'll go along with the talk of what's essentially a bit of a review of what's gone so far in 2025. And then also some overview and not exactly predictions, but just kind of painting a picture of prevailing energies that will come, be. That look like they're going to be around for October, November, and December, the remainder of the quarter. For those of you who are new here to this thing, I welcome you, Stan, particularly, because I know you've never been in with me in a session, and I hope you find it, as I said, enjoyable earlier, and so it's good to have you all. Just as a bit of a logistic, I do appreciate at least mute yourself. Not that I'm worried about any rudeness, but just in case, a phone rings in the background or somebody comes to your door or something like that, it's not intrusive on the group. So, and then at the end of the presentation, anyone is welcome to ask a question. The way I suggest we manage questions is there's a React statement down in the bottom of all the controls. And in that React statement, if you click on it, it gives you a whole list of things, including a raised hand, which I've just demonstrated. And then, I put it lower down. And sometimes if you want to just use the emoticons to make any kind of a relational type of approval or anything or comment, you can always do the clap or the thumbs up, the heart, et cetera, all the things that you see on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, when that time comes, do that. Now, by the way, folks, as much as I like to try and be as present as I can, it's just me presiding over this group. And so I may miss things. And so if somebody's got a hand raised, I may not see it. So feel free to chime in and say, Steve, question, and so stop me if you will. And then as far as those questions, as I said, you're welcome to make them about anything. I ask for the sake of everyone's benefit that they be at least somewhat related to tonight's subject matter. But if you have a personal question, it's okay to go ahead and ask it. It just may not get, excuse me, a really deep response given time constraints and so forth. So, all right. With that, I'll do what I always do, which is to just give myself a moment to bring in Michael. And then what I'm going to do in addition to that is I will share the screen and then start off with the slides. And tonight's lecture commentary will be, in concert with that. All right. Well, in an effort to, lighten the mood and yet also offer a little bit of commentary, not everyone has experienced 2025 in this way, but some have. And I thought this image was a little entertaining. This one, the next one that's up on the coming up on the screen, it has also been something that I've experienced, and a lot of you who have had sessions with me have asked. And I thought that this was also rather apropos of the kind of very open-ended energy that many of you have experienced in this artisan year, as experiencing either, indecisiveness or mixed messages. This next one, I couldn't help myself. Some of you have probably run into the fortune-telling machine Zoltar at various kinds of arcades and, in the past, 20 years or so. It's been out there a long time. And of course, it's not unusual that, especially when I get a new client, that prediction is often asked about. And of course, we, Michael, the consortium, always tell you we are always happy to give you our opinion. We'll give you probabilities about what might or could happen, but it is not our forte or the forte of or our purpose to do that kind of fortune telling. So we hope you had a little bit of a laugh. Zoltar is much better at that than we are. All right. So welcome everyone. It's good to have you, and thank you for attending tonight. So when we cast this last quarter of 2025, you see we've got probably the three broad subject areas that are will be incorporated as we review the overleaves and talk about some of the trends over the next few months and that sort of thing. And as you can see there, it's integrating the shadow of masculine energy. And we want to be really clear, masculine energy doesn't mean just men, ladies, because there's a number of you women here who are more masculine energy than a handful of the guys here. And so it's important to remember that it's just as applicable to you in being in a female body, because all people are made up of both masculine and feminine, yin and yang, what Jung called the anima and the animus. And so all of those qualities are generally known as the yin and yang, right? Now, the second topic is one just to, illuminate you and to broaden your mind. We talked about in the beginning of the year that this artisan year is the launching point of a 25-year arc for the planet, for all of you, and so forth. And even though many of you are the real grays, as we humorously call you, it still means you're here, you're participating, you're living, you're going to be in, involved in this. And with the goal of discrimination, as William James so famously said when he was talking about thinking, have you, literally rearranged your prejudices in this process of the goal of discrimination, which is the negative pole? Or have you actually used the cynic and emotional center to really actually reduce them, to just blot them out so you can open the space of your mind? Not so much to have to be anything, except to have more room for current present perception. And in that current present perception comes this last one. And that is the idea of in this new arc, that rearrangement that we talked about above is the literally meeting or exploring new people that you meet. But also looking at some of your historic relationships and maybe even reframing them. Now, some of you know, during the whole COVID period, we had talked about that a lot of people, left old relationships or rekindled new ones. Excuse me, rekindled old ones that they hadn't been in a while. Well, that little venue has come back around for visit. So, as we before we proceed again, actually into the overleaves itself, we want to make a point that for those of you who know our teachings, you know that one of the more interesting and sometimes very important discussion is about the basic spiritual needs that were, if you will, kind of programmed from on high, from essence, into the personality. And we said that this year, the emphasis of those needs are going to be the need for power, the want for security, and the desire for expression. And expression, particularly as it says here, to be heard, to be recognized, and be counted. Now, we want you to understand that's humanity-wide. And as you all know, most of you here are old, if not, and the rest, of course, mature at least. But the realization is that even baby and young souls, and even infant souls, all pursue these inner needs at an unconscious level in their own way. And we'll come back and reiterate that as we go on. Now, one of the things is that is to also then put this into context is that as we then mentioned, since we mentioned soul age, we're going to explore a few minutes here what we're dealing with as far as the context of the world and the struggles out there. Because soul age perspectives are literally, mass worldviews of, groupthink that all equally, cohabitate within societies. Now, admittedly, Stephen is American and all of you are, or at least, of the Western modern European. So we're not speaking predominantly to the entire world, even though we will mention some things internationally. We're talking mostly about the United States and the West. But as you all come into the mature soul era, there is a bigger issue that many of you who don't know the Michael teachings even recognize. And you think of it mostly in terms of technology, but it's bigger than that. And that is, this is an image of complexity. Now, we pay homage to Joe and Catherine because this is from Spivey Hall in Georgia. This is their pipe organ, but I thought it actually represented beautifully a conception, a viewable, understandable conception of what complexity looks like. Notice you've got three major octaves of keyboard. Then you've got all those additional, electronic and sound muffling or enhancing pulls on the side. You've got all those switches, both at the bottom, at the top. Now, if you were to take and do a mathematical evaluation of this, many of you can see that this is a factorial, that has at least on the face of it, 10,000 combinations easily, to borrow something from the philosopher Lao Tzu, who thought that the number 10,000, represented as close to universal infinity in his version of Taoism. But why this is significant is it's because, as you can see from this device, it's come home to roost. And many of the concurrent systems that you as human beings have to face create very complex things that you have to navigate through. Doesn't mean that they're always complicated. It doesn't always mean that they're hard. But what can make them complicated is when you as a person can see when either you yourself or other people are literally systematically blotting out or negating or hiding from or just denying the existence of complexity and therefore making decisions on things that is not complete. And the mature soul era that, humanity is evolving into for the rest of this century and for the next three millennium will have to come to face this. And of course, it's been ushered in to existence and something we'll talk about later, and that is something that everyone has expressed curiosity, interest, and or concern about, and that's of course artificial intelligence and something we call the technological realm. Now, so the three major soul ages in play really in this soul age transition is the baby soul. You can see some of the phrasing and terms we have here, and you can see by this cartoon, the baby soul's basic orientation at their stage of evolution is that other is frightening. And other is always out there. So there's very little, if any, introspection at the baby soul era of soul age. And probably about 20% of the current planet. And a good deal of the portion of, more rural populations in the United States are baby soul oriented. So their perceptions, their way of coming to things, their political beliefs are all based on some of what we're about to tell you. And that is, if I feel ashamed or if I feel anything that I don't like, it's your fault. It must be other. And their reaction to other is, formulated usually by the standards of whatever their group says. So that groupthink is very prominent. And of course, you see that in a number of movements, especially reactionary movements, both in here and in Israel, also in various South American and Eastern European countries. But the major thing we wanted to talk about is that there's an obedience to power, an obedience to power. So they give over a lot of that power, and you see a lot of that working now. For those of you who like or are interested in the slideshow, by the way, we will post it when we post the presentation on our website for review, so you can look at it and follow along with the themes there. Now, the second one then is the young soul orientation. And notice we put on both of them, we're talking about the negative poles, because in many ways, the baby souls in the positive poles, are open to a level of, wanting to have things spelled out in truth and goodness. And the young soul has a willingness to participate in dynamic change and so forth. But in the negative pole, its goal is acquisition. Its view of life is very materialistic in the sense that whatever experiences it has, it's got to be associated with something that it can identify with, physically, associate to, or and in many cases, want to even control. So when you blend that baby and young soul, which is the outgoing paradigm, but still one that is in its last great gasp, you can see that what happens in those negative pole persons is what you see in American, much in American capitalism today. And a lot of big business is capitulating and going along with, a status quo because they see that as the way that they're going to preserve their power and money. Now, here's where the big long leap into the unknown, the still yet to be created, like Zoltar said, and that's the mature soul orientation as an entire in the American case, the American political system, but also the world ethos, away from starting to look away from consumption of the earth to preservation of the earth. And as you can see, the growing number of people becoming conscious to the fact that with resource depletion, the number of people that are on the planet and the sheer rate of accumulation of stuff that people have in many countries is, overwhelming and producing, waste. And that is diminishing the earth itself. So that's the stakes that this next 25-year arc that we've talked about is happening in. Now, one of the things we want to just add into the mix tonight is some terminology and additional refinement in alignment with the notion of the goal of discrimination, which is the positive expression of discernment. And going into mature soul reality, which is beyond just binary, beyond dualism, beyond just either or, and help you remember that this is a spectrum that has many complex expression possibilities and potentialities. But one of the things that we thought was really essential tonight, especially with the political system heating even heating up more than it has been, excuse me, is we wanted to introduce to our teaching in tonight's talk the Jungian notion of the shadow, because we think it's really important for those of you to get a hold of the reality that if you can get in touch and really own your shadow sides, that one of the things that will happen is that your reactivity to other, the baby soul part of yourself, let alone baby souls, you will feel the more power within yourself to be conscious, deliberate, and less knee-jerk in the way that you happen. Why is that? Because what we'll talk about when we add shadow into the notions of something that we've been talking about the last couple of years, you all know the concept of essence that's been with us since the beginning of our teaching, and we talk about that from the idea of the common idea of soul. But the essence comes in with the role, its soul age, its masculine-feminine energy ratio that it took on at creation, the frequency, its natural pacing, and then, of course, at any particular lifetime, what's its karmic agenda. Now, the personality is who you are, all of you who are in attendance tonight. You are the persons that your essence planted in a body on in this time of history. It's the summation of your DNA influences, with also the influences of your predilections, you know, those innate, what we call overleaves. And what you also have the opportunity to do here, and every one of you in one way or another has been through a spiritual program, whether this one, or we know that some of you are 12 steppers, others have, you know, are engaged in other particular, you know, and just as laudable teaching methodologies. You know that the ultimate desire is the desire to present an authentic self. And the authentic self is always in an emergent state. It is never just, okay, now I've reached it. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, the humorous part of it is if you ever hear anyone say they've reached full expression of self, you know they're talking from their ego. And we're not talking about ego in the sense of, you know, the ego being egotistical, that we are in that reference. But we're talking now about the ego as being the public face of your personality, or should we say public faces, depending upon who you're interacting with. Now, we want to point out here and give, some credit to our colleague Troy Tolley for having come up with the concept of public overleaves. And J.P. Van Hool and Steve Cocconi as us developing with them the notion of subpersonalities. And why their ego states or why they present in the ego is because they don't have to be false. They don't have to be untrue. They don't have to be anything that's fake. What they are is they're crafted to deal with circumstances. Every one of you has an ego persona that you have brought out in your professional life. Every one of you has an ego persona that you have crafted that may show, you know, that has some combination of your authentic self that you brought out to your family. Others of you belong to various organizations or clubs or what have you, or do different activities. You have an aspect of yourself that you brought out there. And it's usually partial. And that's what the ego does. It is the interface. And why this is significant is because why we bring it up in context to shadow is the shadow side is the part that we generally don't see because we just put on any one of these personas at any given time. And yet people who view us can see them. So in this 25-year arc and this first artisan year of discrimination, cynic attitude, power mode, emotional center. The entire thrust has been, and we'll reiterate again this tonight, is that for you to understand that anybody's moralizing, including your own, is really largely at the emotional level. But what has been really essential to try and get a hold of is understanding that even your shadows can reveal themselves in your moralizing, but also in your statement of ethics, the way you actually treat people and the way that you interact with them. And how that will be, needless to say, is going forward really nuanced and giving you the opportunity to discover yourself anew and more, especially as you craft yourself for this 25-year arc. As we said, you're all, many of you here are in your 50s, most of you in your 60s and 70s. I'm not sure if we have any of the 80-year-olds here, but nonetheless, understand that those shadows have helped make you who you are. But to the degree to which you could be less reactive to them, then you are the boss of them instead of they the boss of you. Doesn't mean you make them go away. Doesn't mean you shame them. But also, what it means, if you're not afraid of seeing them, that means you can see in others and say, oh, yeah, I recognize that, even if you don't like it. And if you can do that, then you've got more power, personal power in the situation. All right. So we've said a bunch of things, and we've said a few, reminding you about the overleaves in various ways. So talking about the major, characteristics. Now, for some of you, who are less familiar, but who come here because you may be a student of Steve, you remember that, of course, that this combination of qualities that we have here, that we're calling overleaf influences, derive from our teaching and what we call the overleaf chart. Now, it's available on the website for those of you who want to download it and see it, but each of these headings on the left and the terms next to them, represent major categories from that. And every year, the Tao kind of rearranges things and superimposes these on humanity as a whole, and even the Earth sphere itself. And you, regardless of what your overleaves are and what your role is, you are influenced by these. You catch a flavor of it, and it doesn't mean something that you like them or that you're familiar with them or that you do well with them. But nonetheless, just to put those in context. So this year we talked about that this was an artisan year, and we said it's a warrior casting. And so what a warrior casting would be as a secondary role is it makes it a solid, even kind of a more confronting artisan than the potential for flamboyance, which many of you who know our teaching or who may be artisans yourself, can relate to. Now, the goal of discrimination, also known as rejection in the older terms, is a very rigorous goal, because it, as we mentioned earlier, it says, really refine your prejudices, or be careful, your preferences, excuse me, or be careful or you'll enshrine your prejudices. And certainly we see that kind of enshrinement of prejudices, across many, many fields of society and social conversations. But one of the hardest ones to deal with, because but one of the most useful is the attitude of cynic. Now, we want to be clear, cynic can feel pessimistic in its broadest application of the idea, but we want to be clear that the cynic in its positive pole is about debate. It's about argument. It's about challenge. It is the warrior's attitude. And it says, put up or shut up. Prove to me that this is worth something. In the negative, you can get that just absolute tear down denigration, that you're seeing in many quarters of the world. But if you use cynicism by saying, whatever I believe in, whatever I have, whatever I think, whatever my relationships are, do they stand the test of really being substantive? And hopefully this year, you guys really saw went through a lot of your material items, your own ideas, your needs, what you think you need, as opposed to what really you bottom line need to get through life and even be happy. And did a lot of shedding, because discrimination and cynicism together really help add the sharpened edge to cut a lot of junk away. And if people don't cut a lot of junk away, they will be very hostile, very unsatisfied, very unhappy, and with that chief feature of martyrdom that's down there, very outraged, very mean, and very attacking. And of course, these are trends you're all seeing, right? So folks, as you hear this, notice obviously we're using the terminology to, as literally descriptors, as to the current circumstances, as well as what you might do to utilize them. Power mode is very important. It is the sage mode. That means the method is about communicating, expressing your voice, your values, your love, but being determined that you will not be silenced. And so this year, we see some of you here who have just taken that mantle of refusing to be shut down or stopped and really participating in stating your claims. Now, in the negative pole of power mode, it is still also about communication, but it is usually about communication about sounding a drumbeat, a common theme, about obedience, about oppression, about usually accusation, especially when it's paired with cynicism. The centering, the emotional part, the emotional center and the intellectual part, we want to make a distinction here because we think it's really important because the key word has come out, as a result of the recent assassination of Charlie Kirk. And one of his big advocacies and was that was then chimed in with much of the ultra-right wing is, kill empathy. It's a waste of emotion. Well, it's impossible to do that. But what they are trying to say is, more accurately, is if you have empathy and you could actually relate to another person's feelings, they don't want that because then there will be a tendency for them to lose the power they have. And what might be, and what we want to differentiate is compassion is a choice on empathy. Because compassion is literally an intellectual decision. Whether, how you then moderate your interaction with another person. And on that scale of empathy, compassion, nullity, which we just completely not caring at all, to sympathy, then to degenerating to pity, and then ultimately contempt on the other end. So contempt at one end, compassion at the other. And we want you to understand that that is the interaction of what the what you have to work with the intellectual part and the emotional center. The masculine feminine energy ratio, we said that the Tao made this predominantly masculine on the for many of you, you say, oh my God, this whole business about men and all that. And again, we interrupt and say, this is not just about males or people in male bodies. It is about masculinity at large. But it is also about masculine energy. And as you'll see in a slide coming up, we might shock you with what we'll have to say about the you, all of you, having to own masculinity for yourself and what you choose to do with it. Now, the frequency of 64, a lot of people have told us it's been that they've experienced, this is really weird, things that have thrown them out of their own pacing. People who are a higher frequency, meaning your own natural pace is kind of quicker, many have reported that you've enjoyed it, and that it's felt more upbeat, which it can be true for you. Some of you in lower frequencies have said, "Oh no, riding this faster pace has been okay because it's given you a chance to kind of use it as a wave." And not necessarily, tire you out. But for those who've tried to fight it or those who didn't know how to adapt to it, it can be very, very tiring. What we also want to say about frequency is that some of you found that it has made time distortions really weird, really weird. Sometimes things you think should just take a few moments all of a sudden end up taking days or weeks. And the flip has been true. Things that you were worried about or that you didn't want weren't sure you could do, you started or engaged in, and all of a sudden you were well on your way. So why this was significant is because when the Tao arranged this year, especially in this artisan energy, it was trying to get many of you out of your habituated patterns of expectation. And therefore getting you to pay attention to the natural timing of things. And then how do you then measure effectiveness? Is keep checking in and notice when the really emotional, almost moving emotional, moving center emotional state of, oh, I'm done. When energy leaves it, Now, this sometimes things just need to be finished up, but when you start using that as your guide rather than your clock or your calendar or your scheduler or your expectation, it throws you into a whole new way of being. And this is and out of a lot of your habituated patterns. So, the ordinal realm, we just want to mention that this has been a very personal year for most of you. You've had to do all of this work yourself. Many of you have utilized this energy of artisan creativity, and even rebuilding of with artisan energy and discrimination, to your best personal uses. But it has the key word there has been personal. Now, in the next year, when it turns to an exalted year, and it will, we will tell you that we would hope. And we will let you know that the pull is going to be for you to project your energy into and to bring your attentions to focus on more of the outside world and a lot of the interactions between you and people and co-actions between you and others. So ordinal tends to be an inward focusing when we use the term this way. And even how that looks will be. We'll talk about as we continue on. Now, that's so those are the influences. Now, as we began to talk about, the artisan energy was all year. And of course, it has been about expressing the self. And for some of you who felt like you had to dig out of a lot of things, or using the terms we've just introduced, unbury yourself from a lot of shadows, or had a lot invested in your ego persona instead of your genuine personality. Natural self, who you are, unapologetically, but also uncensoredly, and to as much as you could do, genuinely, vulnerably, without a lot of, having to stake a claim in some great, exhibit of yourself. And as Oscar Wilde said, you might as well be yourself because everyone else is already taken. So, this artisan energy has been pushing all of you to essentially reorient who you are and how you are and reduce what you're carrying around so that your battery doesn't deplete, like the left-hand image shows. Just an acknowledgement with this particular slide, folks, is that, discrimination is not only about elimination and exclusion, rejection. Or rescission. It's about refinement and discernment and rearrangement. And these are some of the areas that all of you have, had to play around in. Not all of you equally, but you're talking about selfhood as a form of identity. And one of the great things on the physical plane that those of you who are familiar with this teaching know that we say the most optimum experience that you and greatest amount of spiritual work you can do is when you sense the input and natural kind of predispositions of essence manifest in who you are as a self, your personality, your name, and as congruently expressed with how you are in the world. And some of those worldly things, as you can see, some of these things are things that were presented to you kind of like by birth, your family and friends, they were, some of them were chosen, some of them you just kind of got from around you. Your ethnicity, of course, your appearance, whether you were born thin or fat or tall or short, then whatever habits you developed or didn't develop, what you've accumulated in your life, all these things have been up on and on the plate. And as now we will give our moment of editorial, we have suggested that the overlays of this year have really, really, really encouraged you. The happier you will be for the next 25 years, the less stuff you will have. And by stuff, we're talking about predominantly material items. But after that, the less stuff goes to the less of your burdens about who you think you should be, what you perceive that you owe or obligate, and instead focus whatever remaining energy of your life into joy, appreciation, satisfaction as consciously and as deliberately as you can. And the more you let go of shadows, or at least face them and own them, the more that that space will be created where you can do it. Now, we just want to just point out that we decided to interject this little editorial image here. And we want you to take a look at it. Because even though most of you are old souls, and most of you may count yourself on the more, centrist to liberal side, it doesn't mean that all of your belief systems don't have areas where you have, blurred the lines between realities and fictions. And of course, that's where most people's prejudice come from in the negative pole of discrimination, is those fictions that you have an emotional charge to. Now, why we show you this picture is, of course, on the surface of it, many of you go, yeah, sure, what? Okay, ice and creatures of the ice. But some of you are aware enough of zoology to know that the polar bear is at the North Pole and the penguin is at the South Pole. These two animals never, ever meet in nature. In other words, these two ideas, these two concepts have no business being together, but people blend them because of the background idea. And so, using that as a standard for yourself, just go in and look. What are your beliefs about money and a person's status or quality of a human being? What about their color? What about, their political affiliations? What about, how you judge your own beliefs as being good, right, whole, and clear, and somebody else's as being stupid? Doesn't mean you won't come up with some of the same answers, but what we are asking you is to notice if you fused them with an emotion that has been otherwise unnecessary to have there for them, but rather as a place inside of your own shadow that you haven't resolved yet. Now we're going to the outside world because this has really been important for us to say, folks, when people in the negative pole of power mode hook up with their own discrimination, there's the possibility for self-censorship, let alone acceptance of outer world censorship. And we all know that one of the things that has just happened, of course, is that the fight about expression in the world is really up and cooking. Now, we had to bring this into into this quarterly presentation because this, the ramifications of these two men, or at least what has gone on with these two men, is going to be with you for the remainder of this quarter. But we thought we would try and personify the idea of the chief feature of martyrdom and how it actually looks when it happens in a social situation. So on the right side, or excuse me, on the, ironically, on the left side of the screen, you have Charlie Kirk representing, the person who was killed, by murdered by an assassin, who, as you can see, there is a late baby priest, scholar who priest casting, who was vociferously pro his pro free speech, and some might call it hate speech, but now he has been embraced as a martyr for his cause. Okay, well, as a backlash against that, you had this talk show host, Jimmy Kimmel, who we get as is a sage, fourth level mature, so very different soul age orientations, right? And very different in their perception of what truth is and what communication rights are. Well, he gets canceled by those corporate young souls that you saw. We showed the picture of heads in the sand business suits. And he became a lightning rod, a martyr, if you will, for the left to galvanize that energy. And this energy will be of, these two people, fighting, not two people per se, but rather the actions that happened upon these two people made into martyrs, for the next quarter and for some time to come. We could actually get rid of this Mad Magazine thing, but we thought it was illustrative. And rather than read it, please follow along on the larger text, because this is the challenge to you folks. And we realize it's a challenge that may surprise you coming from a channeled entity, and your own presumptions that we're all into love and light and never speak about things that are considered shadow or dark. And yet that would not do you a service. So many of you who have played with our Michael motivation cards notice that we put as the tagline to masculine energy, ultimately, is the killer instinct. If the feminine energy is the birth instinct, the mother instinct, then the killer instinct is on the other end of the spectrum. So understand, it's not good, bad, right or wrong or anything. It is the beginning and the ending. It is the initiation and the termination. Notice we're using more neutral language there. But when you bring it down to the social level of a soul age transition like you are experiencing now, we regret to tell you, or at least remind you, that we have been saying for the last several years that the window of opportunity to make the soul age transition, much less violent, had that window has shrunk. And the probability of it being more violent, not necessarily overtly like world war, but certainly ugly in the way that humans treat each other, both physical violence, emotional violence, violence and abuse, violence against rights. But when it comes down to there, the possibility of actual aggression, violence, aggressive violence, and it looks like in the United States that likelihood is ticking upward. We want you to be able to ask yourselves, and this is a deep meditative challenge for the rest of the time of this year for you to consider. Ask yourself the question, what would you actually kill for or fight and die for? Because if you challenge that shadow inside of yourself instead of run from it or pretend it's not there, then you will find yourself actually having a great deal more of personal power reside in you without ever necessarily ever having to lift a finger or commit any kind of act against anyone. But it's to know the shape of the authentic parts of you that you may have to deepen, dive deep and access. And again, why this is interesting from Mad Magazine in 1968 is because if you read any of this list, you will see this is almost the bulleted list that today's American nationalists in the far right wing utilize and then call themselves patriots. So, they're the ones who are most likely to start violence. And you would be you might not necessarily be the direct targets, but it could be. And so to ask yourself the question, at least if you forgive the pun, arms you with self-awareness and knowledge. So, the last couple of things, again, the positive use of cynicism is always contradict your own certainties. And as it says here from, consider it how hard it is, change yourself, right? And you'll understand why it's so hard seeing change around you. But the point being is if you challenge yourself and your own certainties and you don't drop into the helplessness of poor me, the martyrdom, then you will come out being a lot more potentially healed of yourself and a lot more potentially potent in contributing what you have, in the world. Once again, a reiteration. As you know, the negative pole of martyrdom is victimhood. And so when you go into your person, your own self, the one that you live with inside your skin, know that, and when you're talking about your thoughts, remember, compassion is a choice. You don't have to make compassion, but we really encourage you to pay attention, to be very cautious of the opposite end of that spectrum we talked about, which is contempt, because that's a choice. It's not just a feeling. It is a choice of attitude. Empathy, having empathy doesn't mean you have to agree or say, oh, poor them, and I'll just forget about everything that you ever did and sympathy. As a matter of fact, we would say that many of you throughout the New Age, as the ever since the Reagan era, have put aside any of those masculine energy kind of qualities and have been, wanting to be so empathic that you also forgot to have limits, boundaries, standards, and principles. And then, of course, your behavior is, how do you act? Do you choose your actions? Do you choose where you get involved? Do you choose, or do you just retire from the field? Do you hide? All of these are things that you can just examine as thought experiments without ever having to change anything, if you will. But the more you go into the mature soul era, which we have also called the conscious awareness cooperation era of history. Notice those words, conscious awareness cooperation era of history. You have to go deeper in order to go forward. Here's, we mentioned the space-time issue again. We just did it in a graph. We don't really need to repeat that. So let's just bring up, our little conversation about the next 3 months, and feel free, folks, to, ask us questions when it's your time. So we will tell you the tenor of the next 3 months. For most of you mature and old souls, most of you are here. You'll experience as still continued a time, probably of more introspection, but a desire to actually be at least a little bit more social, and a little bit more wanting to be social in order to restore those energies that we talked about when we showed you the glimpse of the artisan image running down. Because authentic self-expression will recharge your batteries. Now, what it means in real life, in real terms, is for those of you who are in the midst of doing things, like, if you've got house projects, or if you have a trip planned, or if you've got unfinished business like taxes, or outgoing communiques, or heaven forbid, court issues that are dealing, work your best to complete those as much as you can. Now, we can tell you, because of the shifting tides of economics, we can tell you that in October, if you're going to make big purchases, do them, and do them fast, because by November, into the first 6 months of 2026, prices are going to spike, and inflation is going to go really high. So, make your creative but also tangible creations happen if you can in the next 30 days, and we think you'll be very happy and feel satisfied and rejuvenated with a lot of that doing. Then, when you hit November, if you have done that, your world is going to personally feel more open, and like the world's outlying experiences are not going to feel as oppressive, even though you may find that paradoxical to hear. You'll notice it in your own spirit. Now, that stability, then we would just say, use it for doing anything you can, to any finishing any cleanups you need to do, eliminating any of your distractions that take up your time, and most importantly, really just kind of notice where and when your mind wants to take you into helplessness. Because eliminating helplessness is especially what's called by psychologists learned helplessness, and the modern consumer society is a trainer of learned helplessness. So is doom scrolling on the web and all that sort of thing. Try and get out of those. And what we would say, as we mentioned at the mature soul slide, try and get yourself into nature as absolutely much as possible. Get away from screens. Now, by December, hey, we think many of you could have just wonderful experiences. If those people who you have sorted through, new and old, you have taken the time to reach out to during November and more so into December, to really rekindle that. We think that you will experience and be able to share and actually preserve and raise a lot of love vibration. And you will also see anybody that you share that vibration, even with a kind word or a smile, in any way, shape, or form, you will notice them having a moment of raised vibration. And raised vibration is not just feeling happy, happy. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the ability of a person to just breathe and feel seen. Breathe and feel seen. So when you spread that over, and what we said here is that, it can be a very motivating time to feel like you want to give gifts. That's wonderful. It's not just because of the Christmas season, although it can, that's been programmed into you in the consumer society. But what we want to say is whatever gifts you give this year, we invite you to use this very reductionistic negation energy that 2025 has had as far as clearing stuff away and so forth, to make your gifts way more personal, way more thoughtful, and not give gifts just for the sake of gift giving. Because if you do that and you find yourself still in obligation, then you can be sure that one of martyrdom's favorite little trolling hooks called resentment will come in and get you. So we hope you enjoy these next 3 months. We think, the energies are going to be conducive for many of you. But reduction and elimination and really making things meaningful is the kind of key theme for them. One of the last things we have to say is, we mentioned the techno realm. And of course, all of you are now amazed that in the beginning of this year or the end of last year, AI, was talked about. Now AI is talked about everywhere. And folks, we want you to understand their business models more than the technology is a threat. The growing capture of, of your attention and your data is more a trouble to you, but that's also where you have your power. Like that monkey on the side who's just sitting there watching, and this guy over here on the right who's now confronted with all these different screens, turn them off. Just turn them off. Recapture your attention and take it out to real life in the world. And one of the things that we said earlier this year that still goes and will go on, is that one of the problems with the modern technological realm infiltration through AI, but also through the way that the conditioning has ramped up and complexity has become complication. The distinction there is complication doesn't have to be a part of complexity. What makes it complicated is that that decisions and options and benefits are given unequally and in ways that many of you aren't even aware that's going behind the scenes. And so just pulling yourself back as much as you can to the degree you have to participate in the complexity of the world, like with your finances and all those things, make those things as clear as possible and interact with humans as much as you can. So, we'll just call it a day, and we'll just put the spin on it before and as we turn it over to you is, the positive pole of the power mode is authority, authorship, auteur, the invention, that one makes. And so this artisan arc has also been about what's the world you want to contribute for the next 25 years? Not just the you, but the world you want to build. So as David Wolf down there said, focus on promoting what you love, not just bashing and hating. And with that, we will tell you that that is the best way to actually get your the end of this year moving forward in a way that, in spite of all the experiences that are going out there in the world, you can rest your vibration at a higher level and cope with your shadows and the shadows of others in a way that is much more effective and potentially much more empowering. So we thank you for listening, and we hope that's been of some interest to you and useful to you. And as always, we don't know if you have experienced this as uplifting, but at least in the directions that we've tried to provide for you, that there is at least some instruction, for your own empowerment.